And the S&P 500 rose 7 points, 0.5%. Our producers include Bridget Bodner, Gina Delvac, Mary Dew, Nancy Fargali, Millie Jefferson, John Ketchum, Jolie Myers, and Chow Tu. I'm Sarah Gardner. See you tomorrow. This is APM.
You're listening to KTOO FM in Juneau.
The next Culture Days at the Library is Thursday, April 25th at 6:30 at the Downtown Library. Ishmael Hope will share the experience of slowly learning the ways of his ancestors and his appreciations for their mastery as storytellers, orators, and artists. We will imitate our grandparents. Hear of Ishmael's joyous apprenticeship in becoming an indigenous storyteller. Sponsored by the Friends of the Juneau Public Libraries, the Chilkoot Indian Tribal Government, and the Haynesboro Public Library, with a grant from the Institute of Museum and Library Services.
Support comes from Valley Medical Care, offering family health care in Juneau since 1982. Valley Medical Care, a proud sponsor of Public Radio in Juneau. Information at 586-2434.
Good evening. In a few minutes, we'll be joining the CBJ assembly meeting. Until then, I can give you a quick update on the weather. Rain diminishing in the evening, areas of fog low around 32, southeast winds 10 shifting to northeast late. And we're going to join the CBJ meeting.
Hello, this is Dr. Elaine Schroeder, and you are listening to Mind Over Matter.
Right there before you turn into university on Pittsburgh, across from Pittsburgh Road.
So I guess they're not quite ready to start yet. So I'll continue with the weather. Wednesday, rain highs around 47, southeast winds 10 miles per hour. Wednesday night, rain, lows around 39, northwest winds 10 miles per hour. And Thursday looks like rain. Thursday night, cloudy, chance of rain. Friday, mostly cloudy, highs around 47. Friday night, partly cloudy, lows around 32.
And I can repeat that later to you.
Exactly.
They are. Long story. Long story. Okay, has everybody finished signing up? One more.
meeting hadn't started yet.
I didn't know about this one.
We're late.
Did you get that
off? Who's that, Rory?
Yeah, it was.
He knows better, too.
Thanks for the reminder, Rory. There are a couple chairs up here, one up here.
Wow. Nobody wants to sit in front.
Want me to bang that thing? All right. I'll call the Monday, April 22nd, 2013-10 meeting to order. If you'll all rise, flag salute. Mr. Jerry Nankervis, lead us, please.
I will. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, and indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. Ms. Sika, roll call.
Ms. Becker?
Present.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Dipto?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Sanford?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Special order of business. We have just one today. Mr. King, can you come up and join us up front here? You want a chair up here, Mr. King?
No. Has he ever.
I'm going to talk.
All right. Got to talk into the mic. I'm sorry. The Office of the Mayor, City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, Mayoral Proclamation. Whereas James Gore Jim King was appointed to the first city's Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee in 1968, when there was no Parks and Recreation staff within the City and Borough of Juneau. And I was in the Marine Corps way back then. Jim? Whereas Jim used his professional experience of 33 years as a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service enforcement agent, game management agent, refuge manager, wildlife biologist, Alaska waterfowl investigator, and wildlife pilot to strengthen the diversity of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee. And whereas that volunteer committee was directed by the Assembly to produce the first Parks and Recreation Plan. Whereas Jim was responsible for identifying parks and trails in the Parks and Recreation Comprehensive Plan in 1970. And whereas Jim helped develop the Juneau State Parks Advisory Board at a time when there was no state park in the capital city. And whereas Jim worked with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and others to get the Juneau Tide Flats established as a 3,764-acre state game refuge. And whereas Jim served on a University of Alaska Southeast Committee to raise funds for $1 million ADA accessible trail through Ancient Forest from the University of Alaska Southeast campus around the east side of Auk Lake. And whereas Jim helped identify 60 parcels of land to be reclassified to natural area parks where they provide open space, access to water, and incredible recreation opportunities. And whereas Jim's 45 years of selfless hard work and dedication created Juneau's trail system recognized by city, state, and federal agencies as some of the grandest parks and some of the finest trails in the nation's trail system, improving the quality of life for residents and visitors to our community. And now, therefore, I, Merrill Sanford, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby recognize and give a heartfelt thanks to Jim King for his tireless dedication in helping Juneau become a world-class recreational community. In witness whereof, I have hereto set my hand and caused the seal of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, to be affixed this 22nd day of April 2013, signed Mayor Merrill Sanford. Congratulations. Good job. Good job. I know. And that's why I said we need another chair
and,
or something.
And that's why I'm going to comment and say that, because there's a lot of whereases on there. And we could have added more whereases on there till the sun came up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I want the Assembly and the public to know just because of you what a better place this community is because of you and what you've accomplished. I also know that you're not done with your ideas and your projects that you're still wanting to accomplish. And so on behalf of the City and Borough of Juneau Recreation Department and all the members of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee, we thank you for your involvement, your contributions, and your impact you have made and continue to make in our community. So we'd like to present you with this certificate of appreciation along with your proclamation. I still call him Mr. King. He prefers Jim, but it's Mr. King to me. So 45 years, so thank you very much.
I just wanted to say that I've always thought it was a privilege to live in Juneau and to be involved with the community and as a volunteer with the Parks and Rec Department. It's been wonderful. And I would like to encourage people to participate through the advisory committees. It keeps you in touch with the community in a nice way and the people that are doing things. And it's a great great privilege. I do have to, though, admit that I didn't invent the trail system. I have to point out that I had a good guide. Thank you all, and we'll see you on the trails.
Thank you.
Do you guys with the kids want to come in over here along this wall? All right. Thank you, everybody. It's not very often that we get to do something that important for our community. And, you know, they're all important, the recognitions that we give, but this is just a little bit more special for sure. So let's move on to the next thing on our agenda, which is approval of minutes. We have the April 1, 2013 regular assembly meeting, 2013-08. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, so approved. April 3rd, 2013, special assembly meeting, 2013-09. Are there any changes to the minutes? Seeing none, so approved. Manager's request for agenda changes, Madam Manager?
None, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Manager. We move on to public participation of non-agenda items. Most of the people who have signed up to talk to us about either one of the budget bills or the CIP thing here. I think, Ms. Danner, you are signed up for a FEMA thing, too. Do you want to? Okay, and that's on one of our ordinances. Okay, then we need you to come up and do public participation here tonight, right now on FEMA.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor and Assembly City Manager. My name for the record is Ruth Danner. I live in the Valley, been there for 25 years or so. And I wanted to talk to you this evening about the FEMA flood insurance study, which I know you'll have before you. Actually, for approval in not till August, but it's supposed to be out there for public review. And I'm pleased to say that I attended the public meeting that was at the university campus. Ms. Crane was there as well, and there were some 20 plus people, so it was quite well attended, I thought. My concerns about the FEMA flood insurance study, I really wanted to share those with you because I don't think that the real problem with the FEMA insurance flood insurance study is what people think it is. I think the real problem is the methodology that's being used. The problem is not that your property might be in a flood zone when it wasn't in a flood zone before. The problem is that where we know that our tides only go to 22 feet, and yes, with storm surges, they might go a little higher, this methodology that's been selected, it was developed at the University of Technology in Delft, which is in the Netherlands, and it's being applied here in Southeast where it's never been applied using tidal datum before. It's a new application for the model, and I don't think it's proven. And I think that they're going to try to force the assembly to approve it, and that will give it credibility because then it will be in place in a community. My concerns are two. One is that I don't think that the public really has had sufficient opportunity to be involved. And I know that you're going to still continue to encourage more involvement. But I only found out about the meeting that I attended by chance. I consider myself to be a pretty well-informed member of the community, and I just stumbled across it when I was on the website. I wasn't looking for it, I didn't expect it, and I didn't hear about it at all on the radio, which is my primary source of information. I really think that if you want to have public meetings and you want to get public input in advance of what you think is a potentially controversial situation, that you should probably find the funds to pay for radio time during drive time. So that's my recommendation on that. And that's all I have on FEMA.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Tanner? Thank you, Ms. Tanner.
Thank you.
Oh. Till the next one. Oh, Mr. Nan Curvis, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I did have one question. You commented that you believe the feds are, I'm going to just use the feds here, were trying to force the assembly into recognizing this to validate it. What's your understanding of the options that the city has then regarding the adoption?
I believe that the city should hire someone from, surprised and disappointed when I went to the meeting and found that there was no one there from FEMA. I can't believe that FEMA won't come and talk to the public about their use of this model. But they weren't there. I believe, unfortunately, that leaves it to the city to hire someone from TU Delft. I'm just guessing that they're the best people to hire in as consultants to come talk to us about the SWAN model and how it really works. I've been doing some, making some inquiries on my own with NOAA to try and understand for myself the technology behind the model, but it's definitely something that's not for the layperson. So, did I answer your question?
A little bit, yes. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Denner.
Thank you.
See you in a bit. Okay, the next one on a non-agenda item is Mr. Mark Halstead from St. Anne's. Mark.
Yes, I am back. My name is Mark Halstead, 400 St. Anne's Avenue in Douglas, and I'm here to talk about the mudslide that occurred on city and borough property on September 26th of last year. And I must say that since I was here last time, that there's been a bunch of phone calls, but essentially now we're in a phase of studying this to death, which I find to be very interesting since initially Kim Kiefer was able to arrange cutting down the tree in my front yard, as long as it was my responsibility, in a matter of 3 days. Now we're 7 months into this, and all I see is mud oozing down the hillside. There's been phone calls. Nothing's been done. I strongly urge that the assembly should take a interest in this beyond just the mudslide and address the unprofessional way this incident has been handled from the get-go. From George Schaaf standing in my front yard telling me I can't fight City Hall, to unanswered letters, John Bohan, the city engineer, that puts forth a report that is filled with false claims and erroneous. I don't even know where he got the information from. It just makes absolutely no sense when a person reads it. And I don't know if this is the city and borough's attempt to play the big bad wolf, and the public is supposed to run around scared because they think they can just push things down your throat, or why this was not handled properly from the get-go. The gentleman I spoke to today about cutting the tree down wants to lay it down on the hillside in the mud to further disrupt the hillside. Makes no sense, but it's your property, I guess, if that's what you want to do. Nobody has addressed, to my knowledge, the invasive weeds on the hillside. Nobody has spoken to me about the damage that occurred on my property and is occurring as we speak. And I'm rather concerned about what direction this whole thing is going. If we're going to do a Band-Aid approach like they did in my neighbor's property, there's been three slides in this area. Miss Crane came over and looked at them herself in person. And this whole hillside needs to be addressed and stabilized, not just my particular piece of property. And my other property owners on both sides of me have suffered similar events in the past. And I don't know if anything's going to be done to address that. I'm very concerned. I intend on living in this house until the day I die, and I want this fixed in a long-term manner. not some kind of Band-Aid approach like they did in front of my neighbor's home when he had a similar slide, and they threw a bunch of shot rock on it, and it's still moving. This needs to be done properly, but more than that, I want the city to take an interest in the unprofessional manner that this was handled and the waste of time and resources that has been perpetrated on me, the unanswered letters and everything else. It's just ridiculous. It's a waste of time and city and borough resources for this to be going on in such a long manner. The damage has increased dramatically since the day it occurred, and it should have been addressed 7 months ago. And unfortunately, the city manager, in her wisdom, decided to just ignore it and hope it was just going to miraculously go away. It was never going to rain in Juneau, or I don't know what the thought pattern was. But I think the assembly needs to take a greater interest in how this whole thing was handled.
Thank you, Mr. Halstead. Are there any questions for Mr. Halstead? Ms. Crane.
I'll just make a comment, Mr. Halstead. I know that you're not happy with the pace of things happening right now, but I've had several conversations with the city manager about this. She is doing what I think the assembly asked her to do after your last discussion with us, and that is not just review the information that she has, but go back and really take a look at this. And I know you want it to happen sooner, but I've had conversations with the city manager and staff, and others may have as well. And the issue is being addressed, and hopefully it will be resolved soon. But it's not being ignored.
No, I understand that it's not being ignored. Like I said, I've had phone conversations, had two of them today. Somebody wants to come flush my dye down my toilet, and they want to make arrangements when they can to cut the tree down. I understand that. 7 months ago, they could have cut the tree down, and they could have covered the hillside with plastic like any common sense would have told them to do, and then they could study it to death like they're doing now and come up with a long-term solution. This was suggested to Kim Kiefer in the very first letter I wrote, and it was wholly ignored.
Mr. Nankervis, do you have a question?
I do not have a question, but I do have a comment for Mr. Halstead. I appreciate you coming in and sharing with us. I'm planning on taking a look at the city's administrative tree-cutting policy as part of this. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Halstead. Okay, let's see. Libraries and city buildings. Everybody else is for one of the budget or one of the ordinances we're hearing here. Is that correct? Is there anybody else who wants to speak about a non-agenda item? Yes, sir. That's part of the agenda items when we get to that part about budgets and stuff. Okay. Anybody else? We don't want to leave anybody behind here. So that ends public participation on non-agenda items is closed. We'll move to the consent agenda. And is there anybody from the public who wishes to pull a consent agenda item so that we can hear it tonight other than an ordinance? If you're here for the ordinances for public hearing, that's all those budget items. We're going to get into those at public hearing after we get through with the consent agenda. So we're not going to miss anybody. Okay, seeing nothing from the public, assembly requests for consent agenda item changes? None? Ms. Becker, motion?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we adopt the consent agenda.
Is there any objections to adopting the consent agenda? So ordered. So everything that's up to page 6 on your agendas has been adopted. On page 6, we'll start with our public hearing on resolutions and ordinances for adoption. Madam Clerk, would you please read the first resolution, 2640?
A resolution adopting the City and Borough Capital Improvements Program for fiscal years 2014 to 2019 and establishing capital improvement project priorities for fiscal year 2014.
Administration report, Ms. Kiefer.
Yes, this resolution is required by Charter Section 9.4, and it lists the capital projects that would be undertaken in FY 2014 using sales tax funds and marine passenger fee funds. Notice of public hearing for this resolution in accordance with CBJ Charter Section 9.6 was included in the April 5th and April 12th Your Municipality Ads. I recommend the Assembly take public testimony on this resolution in accordance with Charter Section 9.6 and refer it back to the Assembly Finance Committee.
Thank you, Madam Manager. This is the time to take public comment on Resolution 2640, and this is about the Capital Improvement District budget. And I think that we have Ms. Danner. You want to testify on this one? Okay.
Thank you again for the record. My name is Ruth Danner. And I appreciate this opportunity to talk to you, Mr. Mayor, and the Assembly members about the CIP that you'll be taking away to the Finance Committee for further consideration. I'd like to say that I'm here to talk to you about the street repairs for Slim Williams neighborhood, because that's my neighborhood, and it was on the list to be done in 2016 and then 17, and now it's 18. But that's not really why I'm here. Although, if you want to move Slim Williams back up to 2016, I'm happy to have you do it. No, I'm really here because there are some sales tax proceeds from not this most recent sales tax, but the one before that. It's about $6.3 million that Lands and Public Works back a year ago in April, we were talking about using that money to build infrastructure into Peterson Hill and some other places in order to build more housing. I want to plant a seed. I was at the FEMA presentation a week and a half ago, and we were talking about flooding and the riverine flooding that impacts Jordan Creek area in particular, but all through the valley. There are culverts and drains and infrastructure that we already have that's inadequate, and it's causing this the flood levels in the model for FEMA to show a number of properties that are going to be subject to higher flood insurance rates because they're now in flood areas that they weren't in before. My point, the people of Juneau voted for that sales tax way back when for sewers and infrastructure. And I think that it's important for us to maintain our current sewers and infrastructure in order to make Juneau affordable. I know that you're eager to build new affordable structures, and I certainly am. I'm with you on that. But I think we need to take care of what we have first. And that's all I have on that.
Any questions for Ms. Frank? Thank you, Ms. Frank.
Ms. Banner.
Thank you, Ms. Banner. All right. Any other public comment? There's nobody else signed up for this one. All right. We'll move on. Public comment is closed. We'll move on to Assembly action. Ms. Crane.
I would move Resolution 2640 be referred back to the Finance Committee.
Thank you. Is there any objections? So ordered. Madam Clerk, please read Ordinance 2012-20AK.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $132,635 as reimbursement for improvements to the Alaska office building exterior, grant funding provided by the State of Alaska.
Madam Manager, admin report.
Yes, the work will be constructed as part of the city's Main Street, 2nd to 5th Street improvement project. Work includes construction of a new canopy from Main Street to the main entry of the Alaska office building, as well as demolition and replacement of entrance stairs and handrail at the main entrance. Funding will be added to the current CIP Main Street 2nd to 7th. The Public Works and Facilities Committee heard this action at its February 25, 2013 meeting and recommended forwarding it to the full assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. We'll open serial number 2012-20 AK for public comment. Does anyone in the public wish to comment about this ordinance? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move assembly approval of ordinance 2012-20 AK and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. We'll move on to, Madam Clerk, please read ordinance 2012-20 AL.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $144,683 as additional funding for the Capital Transit Program, grant funding provided by the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Madam Manager, admin report.
This is additional grant funding not anticipated in the fiscal year 2013 budget. The funds will be used for the current FY13 Capital Transit budget and will reduce the expenditure of local funds for the program by the same amount. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move on to assembly action. Mr. Smith, I thought you were going to get me.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance 2012-20 AL be adopted, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Is there any objections to that action? Seeing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, please read ordinance 2013-09 title.
An ordinance adopting an amended official road classification map with changes regarding the Auk Rec Bypass Road.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Admin report, Madam Manager.
This ordinance will revise the adopted road classification map in the vicinity of the Auk Recreation Area to switch the classification of the portion of Old Glacier Highway that parallels the new bypass road. The proposed change would correct the outdated classification of these road segments and make the bypass road the minor arterial road. This change will also increase housing development potential along this old portion of Glacier Highway by removing subdivision restrictions associated with development along minor arterial streets. The Planning Commission heard this action at its February 12, 2013 meeting and recommended forwarding it to the full assembly for approval. The Public Works and Facilities Committee heard this action at its February 25, 2013 meeting and recommended forwarding to the full assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on ordinance 2013-09? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move ordinance 2013-09 for approval, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections?
I just have a question.
Go ahead.
This was heard at the Planning Commission. Was there any notice sent out to property owners in this area? Was there any objection at the Planning Commission? Do we know?
I'm looking to see if there was any staff there. I don't see any CDD staff.
I see the Planning Commissioner.
Yeah.
Mr.
Watson,
do you
have
remember?
Information on this? Since, sorry to put you on the spot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Watson.
There was no response from the public on that issue. It actually is, we looked at it as an improvement because the old highway, by changing the way it was set up, the old highway would have had limited access for use. In other words, you wouldn't have been able to go on it because it's considered an arterial highway. It now won't be, so that eliminates that challenge for future development, and there was no public comment on that whatsoever. As far as notification goes, it was published in the paper under our normal agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Watson.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Any other objections or comments? Seeing none, so ordered. to be approved. We'll move on to, Madam Clerk, Ordinance 2013-10. Will you please read the title?
An ordinance appropriating funds from the Treasury for FY14 school district operations.
Administration report.
The FY14 school district budget is supported by a combination of funding sources that includes local funding of $24,904,400. This consists of $24,134,400 for general operations, $565,000 for student activities, $70,000 for pupil transportation, and $135,000 for community schools. The $24,134,400 in general operating support is the maximum amount allowed under the state's Education Foundation funding formula. State statute requires the Assembly to determine the total amount of local educational funding support to be provided and provide notification of the support to the school board within 30 days of the school district's budget submittal. To meet this timing provision, it is necessary for the Assembly to determine the amount of funding and provide notice in the month of April. This amount cannot subsequently be reduced unless the amount exceeds the state funding cap, but it can be increased. If the Assembly does not set the amount and furnishes the school board, with notice within 30 days, the amount requested by the school district is automatically approved. By charter, the Assembly is required to appropriate the school district budget no later than May 31, 2013. I recommend that the Assembly state by motion the amount of local funding to be provided to the school district be set at $24,134,400, which is the maximum amount allowed under the state's Education Foundation funding formula for general operation support. I also recommend, after taking public testimony on this ordinance, the ordinance be referred back to the Assembly Finance Committee for additional review.
Thank you, Madam Manager. We open up the Ordinance 2013-10 for public comment. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance? Mr. Watson? And were you signed up, Mr. Watson?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, that's fine.
All right.
No, it's fine.
Second.
If you were, I wanted to be able to check you off.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Dennis Watson, 9333 Northland Street. I recognize the contributions by the borough to the maximum cap. One of the few boroughs in the state of Alaska that does that. I think there's about three that do out of the 53. So that's pretty admirable. But my question, and I don't expect it to be answered tonight, but under House Bill CS-182, and I think Mr. Keel's familiar with that one, the state of Alaska's turned back to the borough approximately $2 million last year, this year, and for the next 10 years. So I guess my question, in a way, is where is that $2 million? It's just shy of about $2 million. Is it going back into the school district budget, or is it used for general funds? So I think Mr. Keel is pretty familiar with that bill. I think he was pretty involved in it. So,
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In rough terms, that is a reduction. That money is a reduction in what the city and borough of Juneau is required to put into schools. And because we fund to the cap, it's also a reduction in what we're allowed.
That's correct.
To put into schools. And last year, as you noted, that money, that $2 million, was made up by the state general fund. In essence, the city and borough of Juneau used those general funds in our budget last year. I would note that this year, because the student counts in the Juneau School District haven't particularly changed,
correct,
and because the base student allocation hasn't particularly changed, but because our property values have gone up, instead of $2 million, the value of that is about $1.5 million.
Right.
So we, in essence, put another $500,000 into the schools that the state didn't, and the net result to the Juneau School District is a wash, which is most unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's, in effect, $500,000 this year that we don't have to balance our budget.
Right. And I guess my question, certainly as a follow-up, is that through about 2030, 2032, you're going to continue to receive based upon
student counts and tax valuations. But you're certainly going to continue to receive about $1.5 million to $2 million, depending upon how things go. So that was the purpose of my question, since this does involve the school district budget. I thought it was an appropriate time to bring it up. So thank you.
Thank you. Madam Manager, do you want to make a comment on this? Okay. Anything else? Any other questions? Is there anybody else who wishes to give us testimony on the ordinance 2013-10? Public testimony is closed, and we'll move on to assembly action. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
We need two actions here.
I move assembly approval of ordinance 2013-10 at an amount of $24,134,400. And I'll explain. I'm asking for approval tonight because the Finance Committee referred this to the Assembly and recommended to the full Assembly as the full Finance Committee that it be approved at this amount unanimously at our last meeting. So there's no purpose to sending it back to the Finance Committee for markup. I ask for Assembly approval.
Mr. Wanamaker, a question. What happens if there's changes to dollars coming in? I know we can't go above the cap, but Madam Manager, if you could answer that for me, and I think that's appropriate.
Sure. The $24,134,400 does not include the funding outside of the cap. So what we're telling the school district is we will fund to the cap, and then the Finance Committee will look at those funding items that were outside of the cap, and that's why it's being referred back to the Finance Committee to look at those items that were outside of the cap.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Then I'll restate my motion to refer this to the Finance Committee.
Do we need to do it in two motions?
Mr. Mayor, I'd recommend two motions. One, to set the floor on your funding for the school district, and the manager has recommended $24,134,400, and a second motion to refer the ordinance back to the Finance Committee for further work.
Thank you. Mr. Wanamaker?
No, thank you. And I move that the Assembly set the floor for the school district budget at $24,134,400.
Thank you. Mr. Wanamaker, is there any discussion? Is there any objection? So ordered.
Thank you, Mr.
Second
Mayor.
Motion.
I move that we refer the ordinance back to the Finance Committee for additional review.
Thank you. Mr. Wanamaker, is there any objections to that? So ordered. Madam Clerk, please read ordinance 2013-11.
An ordinance appropriating funds from the Treasury for FY14 city and borough operations.
Madam Manager, admin report.
This ordinance appropriates $322,531,300 for the City and Borough Juneau's FY14 operating budget, excluding the school district. It is necessary to appropriate all transfers between funds that support operations, debt service, and capital projects, as well as the associated expenditures within the funds themselves. These transfers account for $85,801,000 of the FY14 operating budget. Excluding the transfers in the school district, the CBJ FY13 operating budget, debt service, and capital projects is $236,730,300. The charter requires that a public hearing be held on the FY14 operating budget by May 1st, 2013, and adopted by June 15, 2013. I recommend, after taking public testimony on this ordinance, that the ordinance be referred back to the Assembly Finance Committee for additional review, and that it be brought back for the final Assembly action no later than June 15, 2013.
Thank you, Madam Manager. And we'll open this up for public comment, and we'll start and go right down the list, and then we'll take any other public comment out there that, who wishes to speak on this ordinance, 2013-12. Mr. Roy Johnson, Ms. Ruth Danner is first, and then Roy Johnson.
Mr. Mayor, are we
I'm sorry, we're on 2013-11. Okay. I'm sorry, I misspoke here. Let's go down the list and see if there's anybody on 2011. Reduction of library hours. Did you? Charles Robacher?
This is the next one. It's the next one.
You want to talk about the mill rate? Yeah, okay. Mill rate. Okay, so we don't have anybody signed up for this, so I'll open up the public testimony on Ordinance 2013-11, and that's funds from the Treasury for FY14 City and Borough Operations. Is there any public out there who wishes to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, we'll close public comment, and we'll move on to assembly action. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move assembly refer this ordinance 2013-11 to the Finance Committee for review and then refer it back to the Assembly with recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Is there any objections to that? Seeing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, please read Ordinance 2013-12.
An ordinance establishing the rate of levy for property taxes for calendar year 2013 for the budget for fiscal year 2014.
Thank you. Administration report, Madam Manager.
This ordinance would establish the mill rates for property tax for the 2013 year, which funds the FY14 operating budget. The charter requires the Assembly to adopt by ordinance the tax levies necessary to fund the budget before June 15, 2013. The mill levies presented in this ordinance support the manager's FY14 proposed budget that is currently being reviewed by the Assembly Finance Committee. As part of the budget review process, the Assembly Finance Committee will review and recommend to the Assembly the final mill levies. The final mill levy must be adopted on or before June 15, 2013. This ordinance proposes a total mill levy of 10.89, the components of which are roaded service area 2.17, fire service 0.40, area-wide operational 6.92, and debt service 1.40, for a total of 10.89. I recommend, after taking public testimony on this ordinance, that the ordinance be referred back to the Assembly Finance Committee for additional review, and that it be brought back for final Assembly action no later than June 15, 2013.
Thank you, Madam Manager. And now we will open up for a public comment, and we'll start down the list. Ms. Danner.
Thank you again, Mr. Mayor, Assembly members. Thank you so much for this opportunity to come and speak with you. My topic on this particular item is affordability. And I want to say that as you take this ordinance into the Finance Committee, you have my deepest sympathy. This is going to be a very difficult thing, I think. More difficult than you realize. And I've supplied some handouts that I'll be referring to as we go through this. So I'll be referring to those. So hopefully that will help. I guess, and it's a little bit of a winding story, unfortunately. That's the way I tell my stories. In 2011, the state assessor came and did an audit of our assessor's department and made a number of recommendations which never came before the assembly while I was serving. And so I was pleased when I went out to the city's website to see the first document that I've given you here.
Mr. Mayor, I don't mean to interrupt, but how many people do you have on the list, and are there time limits?
Mr. Dibdahl, we have signed up 12. Mr. Law Department, can we limit each person? 5 minutes, 3 minutes, or what, at this level?
Mr. Mayor, you can. There's a big Ninth Circuit case that says exactly that.
Okay. Thank you. With that many people, that's going to be a half hour to 45 minutes. So will Mr. Wanamaker, you had a suggestion?
Yeah, just 3 minutes per person.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. So we'll move forward with 3 minute time limits on everybody. Thank you.
I suggest that we give Ms. Gary the benefit of starting at 3 minutes.
That sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The assessor's office, one of the findings for the state's audit was that the assessor's office should be moved out from under the finance department. I assume that you all approved that the assessor's office is to remain in the finance department, and if that isn't an action that you took, then it's something that hopefully you will look at. One of the challenges with having the assessor's office fall under the finance department is a conflict of interest. On the methodology for our mill rate, our assessments for this year are surprisingly heavy on land. And that was explained in the methodology that the assessor's office puts out. But it says, in the recent past, the market change has often partially or completely attributed to the structure. This resulted in land value stagnating rather than reflecting market changes. As you can see on the second page that I've provided you, I've given you the last 10 years of my property, the land value, and that's what that land assessments grant is. You can see that the blue line is the zero lot, the land under the zero lot line that I live in the valley. It's a modest little neighborhood, and my property went, not counting this assessment, my land went from $35,000 in 2004 to $70,000 in 2012. So that's not stagnant. That actually is a 9% increase annually. Now, if any of my other investments had increased by 9% annually over the last 9 years, I'd be delighted. This is during the crash of 2008. I don't have to remind you of that. My concern, to be quite blunt, is that when the same body is responsible for setting taxes as for spending the money, then there's an incentive, a reason to want to set taxes to cover the expenses. You can set a mill rate. You can increase taxes by increasing the mill rate, or you can increase taxes by increasing the assessments. We have, on the last page, it's ordinance. I can't say that this is an ordinance. It's section 9.7. C. Mr. Hartle could perhaps tell you where I actually got this from, but it's from the code, CBJ code, and it says that except as provided in this section, the assembly shall not levy on real or personal property any tax exceeding the total of 12 mills plus that additional millage required to service general obligation indebtedness. The assembly may levy a tax exceeding this total only after seeking and securing voter approval by a majority of those voting on the question in the general or special election.
Thank you, Ms. Danner. Mr.
Sure.
Hartle?
This is 9.7C of the CBJ Charter, and this C section was added by initiative about 20 years ago.
Okay. Thank you. Wrap up, Ms. Danner?
Yes. My point here is that the former city manager and the former director of finance had a stake in the game to keep the mill rate flat so they could claim the high ground of keeping taxes flat, not increasing taxes. But if you look at the expenditures, the revenues and expenditures that are on the top of this second page, there's a box around expenditures, and over the same period of time that my property went up 9% every year, you can see the increases in expenditures from the general fund and the roaded service area fund. And while there are some years that were quite modest,
wrap up, Ms. Danner.
Most years actually are 9%, with 2011 at 13%. My point is that if we continue to increase, let me say it this way, although you won't like it, the city is responsible for the lack of affordability in our community. The city is responsible for the assessments that they have consistently increased 9% year over year. When I sell my property, I look at my assessment, and it says, it's worth $350,000. Oh, cool. That's on the assessment, and I know I can ask for $370,000, and then that now becomes the new market. So,
thank you, Ms. Danner. Is there any questions for Ms. Danner? Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Danner, you're, I think, familiar with the city's procedures for appealing property tax assessments. Is it your assertion, and because the Assembly did talk about the state assessor's recommendation and his perception of a conflict, is it your belief that the state courts to which a person could appeal their property tax assessment would uphold property tax assessments based not on relationship to the market or the factors of professional assessing, but on some perceived desire for revenue? Do you think that hold up in court?
Mr. Keel, the reason why our property taxes, our fair value for our properties is what it is because the community perceives that that is the value of the property. And because there is such limited availability, if a new person comes to town and there are four houses in their range on the market and they look at them and they are all above what the current assessed value is, then they say, this must be what it's worth. This must be what it costs to live here. Now, my house is assessed at, I don't know, let's say $350,000. And there are three other houses just like it in my neighborhood. And the lady down the street is selling hers for, I don't know, let's say $360,000. Would all four of them sell for $360,000 if they were all on the market at one time? I can tell you that they wouldn't. In fact, those houses were originally built at $350,000 and fell down to $80,000 when there were more houses on the market than there were buyers. So we are creating this problem for ourselves.
Ms. Danner, in your opinion?
In my opinion. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Any other questions? Ms. Danner, thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right, Mr. Roy Johnston. And after Mr. Roy Johnston will be Tom Ritecki. Three minutes, Mr. Johnston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, Madam Deputy Mayor, Assembly members and fellow citizens. My name is Roy Johnston. I'm a firefighter representing the International Association of Firefighters, Local 4303. Juno Career Firefighters, 40 men and women, are opposed to the proposed cuts to the fire department. These cuts will have a negative effect on public safety. Two full-time positions, funding for emergency services classes, will have a negative effect on the community. We're asking for the currently approved funding for the FY14 revised budget We probably stand ready for calls and emergency 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. 40 members are asking for your support to hold the fire department budget to the already approved budget of the FY14 revised. How soon we forget the tragedy of the Gastineau apartment fire, the fire that consumed 100% of Capital City Fire Rescue's resources. We had nothing more to give. We had a skeleton crew of four at Glacier Station for the second period if we had to go into a second period of working on that fire. We had four people to handle anything else that came into the rest of the city. Anything. Let's not forget the cost to the city for the loss of one major building, let alone an entire block downtown that could burn for days. Cutting public safety may be easy to cut on the dotted line, but there's always a cost to the citizen. So let's ask the citizens, what does Juneau have to say about it? In the 2012 budget survey, 83% of Juneau citizens that responded were very opposed to cutting the Capital City and Fire Rescue budget. I think that speaks volumes. In that same survey, in service priorities, most important departments to maintain were fire and police. Yet we're looking at a potential cut to the budget of the fire department. If you suffer a heart attack, a cardiac arrest right now, you have a better chance of survival from our first responders at Capital City Fire and Rescue than you would at LA County or in the city of Miami. We rival Seattle's Medic One program for 49 to 51% cardiac save rate in the field. It's amazing. We're saving homes and properties that 2 years ago we would have burned to the ground. We're doing more with less. We're getting it done on the front line. I ask this assembly to accept the FY14 revised budget for the fire department. 40 brothers and sisters of IFF Local 4303, your hometown Juneau Career Firefighters, thank you for your time and consideration. In addition, I'd like to give you some numbers. Last year, we responded to 98 fires in the borough. 43 were investigated. Of those, 17 were considered suspicious fires. We had 12 admissions or convictions, and 7 of those are juvenile. The national average in arson convictions is about 2%. We averaged about 12. And part of the funding that's proposed for cut is fire prevention. That targets juvenile firefighters. We say last year,
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir. We had $2.7 million in loss, and we had $22.7 million saved in the borough. I think it's a small amount of money for $230,000.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Mr. Didbo.
Just one. Do you support the mill rate at 10.89, this ordinance?
You know, sir, to tell you the truth, the mill levy to us is irrelevant. We're asking you to properly fund the fire department and emergency services. It's really a political question. We're asking you to fund the fire department. And I'm sorry that's not a direct answer to you, but we realize that you're trying to reduce the mill, you're trying to save the mill and protect services, but somewhere in the end, in the middle, it's got to squeeze. We're an essential service. That's the whole point of government. Fire, police, water, streets. We've got to take care of those things, and the public has got to be number one. Safety, I couldn't imagine anything higher than that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mayor.
Mr. Palm, Mr. Dibdow?
Yeah, before you continue, Mr. Mayor, it seems to me that there's some misunderstanding by the public based on the number and content of the emails that I read anyway, that this is somehow a proposal by the city manager, or that it is a proposal by the assembly, which it was neither, as far as I know, and that it was simply a what-if scenario and a request for information. And I think that by putting it out the way we did, that all we did was cause the public a lot of alarm. Just wanted to say that for the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dudon. Tom Ritucky?
Good
Welcome, Tom.
Yeah, hi. Tom Ritecki, 1513 Lane Court. Well, I'm here to provide some information. I propose that you go forward with the budget as planned with the modest mill rate increase. In the case of a $300,000 home, it's about $100. And, you know, Juneau has a lot of really, I think, not really good services. We don't have anything extravagant. And this proposed cut would adversely affect many people who are our friends and neighbors, and who I think would most be adversely affected are our kids. Back in December, Mayor Sanford, Assembly Members Becker and Wanamaker were part of a panel on, it was called Getting to Graduation, and all three of them stressed how we need to do all we can for the youth, and that the dropout rate starts in elementary school and in not high school. And by going forward with a decrease in the mill rate, the programs that would be eliminated would really affect these kids. The scholarships they get, those go to kids that are in real disadvantaged families that can't make it to do the activities. And I think that's really important. All the youth groups, the Youth Activities Board, that money is a lot of bang for your buck. And, you know, Alaska, we're one of the least, I think, tax states in the whole of the 50 states. They give us money. We don't have a state income tax. In my opinion, this is, you know, would be an ideological move instead of doing the right thing. So once again, just go forward with the budget you had. It's not that big of a deal. Although some people would argue, yeah, well, you pay my $100. That's it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any questions for Mr. Ritecki? And Madam Manager, do you have the actual numbers? I don't remember what it related to. And just so we get it clear, was it $100 per $300,000 of assessment, or is it more than that, the one mil?
It depends on, I think it was $58 for.
Per $100,000.
Per $100,000.
So 60 times 3 for $100,000.
Bob, hang on just a second. Our finance director is here. He ran the numbers.
Mr. Mayor, what I can do, the most recent example I did was of a property valued at $250,000. So just using that as the example, and then just taking the portion of the mill rate increase that's being proposed for the operational budget, so the 0.23 mills, if you took that times a value of a property that was $250,000, it would be $58 for the total increase for that property.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's move on to Todd Cameron and then Amanda Carlson. I know you're fibbing to me.
Excuse me? I didn't hear you.
Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Todd Cameron. I'm a firefighter speaking on behalf of the International Association of Firefighters, Local 4303 here in Juneau, Alaska. I'm asking for the Assembly to not cut spending to the fire department. Any cuts made to the fire department will have a negative effect on the public safety. The fire chief was ordered to submit a budget with, I believe, already 10% reduction. Asking for additional 22% to be cut out of the budget would result in loss of services that the fire department is going to be able to provide to the community. I'm asking the Assembly once again to support the revised FY14 budget and support its firefighters. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cameron. Any questions for Mr. Cameron? Thank you very much. Ms. Carlson? After Ms. Carlson, we Ms. Scheinberg.
My name's Amanda Carlson, and I'm representing the Alaska State Firefighters Association Juneau Chapter. And I'd just like to read a letter that I submitted to you before the meeting. On behalf of the Juneau Chapter of Alaska State Firefighter Association, whose members include career and volunteer staff of Capital City Fire Rescue, I urge you to reconsider the proposed cuts to Capital City Fire Rescue budget for fiscal year 2014. We understand that times are tough. However, the elimination of two positions and the continued decreases in training programs not only put community members' lives and property at risk, but the lives of both career and volunteer firefighters. According to the 2012 CBJA budget survey, the CBJA Assembly contracted with McDowell Group to conduct the 2012 CBJA budget survey in order to provide statistically reliable community input to assist in the budgeting process. Fire and rescue was listed as the second most important department to maintain. Police was number one. On page 8 of the survey, under service reduction preferences, it states, on the whole, the majority of CBJA residents are opposed or very opposed to reducing services in the remainder of the departments, including fire and rescue. 83% were opposed. Once again, I urge you to reconsider the proposed cuts. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And are there any questions? And just so everybody remembers again, this was only one option on the table for us to look at. It's not a done deal by any means. So, Ms. Scheinberg, how are you this evening?
I'm good. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just distributing a piece of paper for everyone, please. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. My name is Barbara Scheinberg. I live at 739 Fifth Street, and I'm here speaking as a resident of Juneau tonight. I don't often do this. I usually am testifying on a professional matter, so I think the last time I did this was about Capitol Park, and I said something that Dennis Egan still reminds me about to this day. But at any rate, I'm here again tonight, and I'm here to talk about retaining, to ask you to retain the 0.23 mill rate increase. I believe it's reasonable, which will bring us to a total of 10.89 mills. I handed out something that I just put together right before the meeting, and I took this from the Alaska Taxable that the State Department of Community and Economic Development puts out. It's from their 2012, and it lists the 15 boroughs that levy property tax and reported. And this is the 2012 mill rate that they're all levying. And as you know, mill rates vary depending on whether you're on fire, police, on the road system. So what I did was, in bold, I highlighted the most closely similar mill levy that each of these boroughs is levying. And it would be for if you're in the city in a borough and you get road and fire, and, you know, sort of like if you live in downtown Juneau or anywhere in the road system here. And I just point out that, so that's what's in bold, is the most closely similar rate, even though they vary. And I quickly highlighted in gray those boroughs that are levying a mill rate that's over 10.89, but I realized in my haste I also should have highlighted Kodiak Island Borough and Petersburg, which is a city, but now it's a borough. So basically you'll see that from this handout that of the 15 boroughs levying, that 10 of them are levying mill rates higher than Juneau would be if we stuck with the 10.89. We in Juneau are blessed with mining, tourism, government, healthcare, and healthcare jobs, among others. And I believe that we have the tax base here to support this modest mill rate increase. You know, we're very lucky in that regard. I did the math, and to do it, it's easy. You just take 0.23, divide it by 1,000, and then multiply it by, you know, your property. So I took a $300,000 house, and that would be a $69 increase. One of the reasons that I'm really proud to be a Juneau citizen, frankly, is that I feel that we have a really good track record of supporting services here, and we're not afraid to pay for things that we enjoy, and I don't think that that's true in every Alaskan community. And I believe that this is another example of a time when we should retain this modest mill rate increase to keep offering the services that we do. My last point is just with federal and state constraints that are coming, and I do believe they'll trickle down. I'm a small business owner, and I'm more worried, frankly, than I've been in 24 years about what's going to happen in the next couple years in Southeast Alaska for a variety of things. And I think it's important for the CBJ not to add to that right now and become like a triple whammy, so to speak, with the state and feds. We really depend on these services, whether they're for youth or firefighters, and I urge you to retain this.
Thank you. Ms. Scheinberg, any questions for Ms. Scheinberg? Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Scheinberg,
yeah.
Thanks for putting this together. A question for you, though, is do you know which of these boroughs, these 15 boroughs, mm-hmm. also collect sales tax?
I can
And what those rates are?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I can get that easily. I could email that to the city manager tomorrow and have that available. Just add another column onto this table with the rates they're
levying.
That would
be great since we've already got this. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Scheinberg.
Thank you so much.
We'll move on to Beth Weigel.
Good evening.
Next will be Arnold Liebelt.
Good evening. My name is Beth Weigel, and I live at 2930 Fritz Cove Road, and I'm also the Executive Director for Discovery Southeast, so I'm here representing both myself and Discovery Southeast, and I agree with Representative Dibdahl that the list that was put together by our city manager, Kim Kiefer, of items that would service reduction list, should the mill rate not be approved at what was recommended at the 10.89, is pretty alarming. So as I look at it, there's about 7 items on here that represent direct services to youth, which makes up almost $500,000, half of that $1 million reduction. When you add the 3 items for the fire department and public safety, you're definitely half of that $1 million reduction is taken from youth services and public safety services. So that's pretty alarming, I think. And then my second point is that in about a month here, the schools are going to be out, and many organizations like my own have been planning summer programs for youth, and parents have been counting on the fact that we'll have these sort of youth programs. Our Outdoor Explorers program is funded by partially youth activities grants. So this is going to leave a lot of parents at a loss for childcare. And as you know, our community is already at a deficit for childcare, and it would be greatly, you know, a total upheaval for many parents should any of programs that are relying on youth activity grant money be cut in that sense. And finally, you know, organizations that receive youth activities grant money provide thousands of hours of service to youth. And our summer program alone, Outdoor Explorers, provides over 4,000 hours to over 100 youth in the summer. And the Youth Activities Grant also helps provide funding for our other programs like Discovery Days throughout the year. So I'm sure there'll be other people here to talk a little bit more about how that Youth Activities Grant really supports. And I think somebody said it earlier, you get a pretty big bang for your buck when it comes to the Youth Activities Grant. So I would recommend that the mill rate levy that you're proposing be kept and not, you know, keep the 0.23 or that $69, I guess, that Barb Scheinberg just talked about. I think that's well worth your money in the way that it provides services to youth and public safety. Thank you.
Ms. Weigel, is there any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Thanks. Appreciate it. Arnold Liebelt. After Mr. Liebelt will be, is it Stevie? Somebody on Noel Avenue. Quinn, okay, thank you.
Good evening. My name is Arnold Liebelt. I live at 1301 Fifth Street in Douglas, and I'm here as a citizen of Juneau, of Douglas, and I'm also here as the president of the Juneau Douglas Ice Association. I have some prepared comments I want to make regarding the support of the Youth Activity Grant Program. Regarding Mr. Dibdahl's comments, I appreciate hearing that. I think there was some I guess, at least on our part, a little bit of fear about how far we're going with making budget decisions and so forth. In terms of a citizen, I will say that I sent an email, I think, to everybody here basically outlining a few factors that I would like you to consider. Basically, performance outcomes, tax exemptions, demographics, and decrease in state revenue in the future. And I say that in the context of discussion of the mill rate. I don't think it's fair to talk about a mill rate increase separate from the valuation of our properties, which we are seeing. I'm not necessarily opposed to a mill rate increase, but I am. I don't understand the justification for how our property value just continues to increase at the rate that it has been. I don't think the other reason I'm opposed to a mill rate increase is that I don't think everything is on the table. I think we're taking a very shallow approach. When I talk about tax exemptions, there's a task force that was put together in the year 2000 that was supposed to study 39 tax exemptions and make recommendations to the Assembly. Some of those are, you know, I don't know what happened with those, but I know that there's some that I think stick out, you know, and I don't exactly receive praise from seniors in this community when I point out that senior occupied homes for people over the age of 65 still receive $150,000 off the value of their property when it comes to times for tax assessment. And I think at a certain time in this community that was a good thing and that it could be absorbed. But when I look at the median age in this town in the year 2010 being 39 years of age, in the year 2035 it's going to be 53, and that the fastest growing segment of the population in this town is seniors, the middle class can simply no longer suck this up, and that's what we're being asked to do. And the same thing on the sales tax. So I don't think these discussions can take place independently. They certainly aren't. There's a demographic going on. The youth population in this town is going to decrease by 8% from the year 2010 to the year 2035. You know, so, you know, what is it we want as a community? As a senior, hopefully I'll be living here, I would want to see a vibrant community with our schools full of kids with lots of sports programs. And so I say that to put it out there on the table because I think these discussions need to take place. If we're talking about a mill increase, we need to put everything on the table. In terms of being the president for the Juneau Douglas Ice Association, I would say, obviously, my recommendation is keep that fully funded. It is a small investment that we give to the youth in this community. You're an investment. They are the future of this town. We just don't coach, you know, hockey players. We coach good citizenship. We teach responsibility. We teach accountability. We raise good kids. If they weren't there, you know, I don't know where they'd be. Maybe walking on the street, not eating very healthy, hanging out with friends. They find an identity on the ice. They become part of something bigger than they are. They become part of a team. They grow in confidence, self-esteem, and they grow to be good citizens. Hopefully they'll grow up and they'll give back to this community just as we do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leibold. Are there any questions for Mr. Leibold? Mr. Nan Curvers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a comment. Arnold, that email was one of the most thought-provoking emails I've gotten since I've been on the Assembly. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I'd be happy to discuss with anyone of you if you have any questions regarding it. I'm very concerned about the future of this town, where we're going, when I look at those issues.
Mm-hmm. Madam Manager, tomorrow night is the Board of Equalization basic meeting, and correct, aren't they going to discuss how they do assessments in that at that meeting?
The state assessor will be here to walk everybody through that process.
Okay, so if anybody is interested in that process of assessments, I would encourage you to come to that meeting tomorrow night at 5 p.m. here in the Assembly Chambers to learn more about how we do it and for what reason. Thank you, Mr. Leibold.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Only a comment to point out, just for the information of the public, that the senior citizens and disabled veterans property tax exemption, that $150,000, is not an optional exemption. That's required by state law that we exempt that.
Thank you, Mr. Keith. And we'll move Mr. Steve Quinn and then Debbie White.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mayor Stanford, members of the Assembly, my name is Steve Quinn, and I'm here to continue where Mr. Liebelt left off, briefly talk about what I believe a sound investment the Youth Activity Grants are and how they reap near, mid, and even long-term dividends. I'll speak only to what I've seen with the Juneau Douglas Ice Association. I am a volunteer coach, and I'm a board member, but I'll speak for myself as a Juneau resident. We've all heard and even have our own ideas about government waste. These grants are anything but that. These come with a structure that has accountability and appropriate oversight built in. And the grants represent what I believe are a sound fiscal foundation that bring children and their families to Treadwell Ice Arena in the spirit of cooperation and sportsmanship. I mentioned the dividends to this investment, and I'll start with the near term. Each day of each week, coaches and parents watch their children develop, not just a physical skill, but also a sense of working as a team. And that kind of leads me to the near-term or mid-term investment. With teamwork comes sportsmanship. And in February, during a tournament in Haines Junction, a team of Juno youth hockey players attracted attention not just from their stellar play, but more so for their sportsmanship. They impressed coaches from our sister city, Whitehorse, so much so that the coaches made dedicated visits to our locker room after each game to thank and congratulate players for their sportsmanship. It happened more than once. It also produced an invitation to come back to the UConn for a tournament in Whitehorse. On to the long term. We have two players, a boy and a girl, who grew up playing hockey in Juneau. That's something we couldn't say 10 years ago. Now these young teens will get to showcase their skills on a regional stage, one this weekend in the Seattle area and another 2 months from now in Colorado Springs. I'll close by thanking you for your time, and I'll extend an invitation to all of you to join us next fall and winter to watch our games and to watch your investment grow. Thank you again.
Thank you. Mr. Quinn, any questions, comments? Seeing none, thank you very much. Ms. White?
Hi, my name is Debbie White. I live at 17417 Andrianoff. I'm the broker owner of Prudential Southeast Alaska Real Estate. I've been in the real estate industry for almost 14 years. I've also served on the Board of Equalization for a few years. I'm here tonight because I cannot make sense of the new assessment models. My phone's been ringing a lot lately because people are confused. Frankly, so am I. There's no rhyme or reason to this. I believe the statutes say that assessment should be at least close to actual value, plus or minus 5%. Mass assessments differ from the appraisal the bank orders when you buy a house. Alaska is a non-disclosure state, which means the government cannot force buyers and sellers to disclose sales prices. I know that this makes the job of determining assessments pretty difficult, but I'd like to give you a few examples to illustrate just how far out of reality the new assessments are. I have written permission from clients to disclose these things. I'm currently in the process of buying a home on Park Place near Rotary Park. I can't tell you all the current sales prices, but I can tell you the highest asking price I could find was $280,000, and that unit did not sell. There are seven homes on that street assessed at over $300,000 and 30 more assessed at over $280,000. I represented a buyer who purchased a house on North Douglas Highway. It was on the market for $515,000 for 247 days. The seller pulled it off the market and put a lot of work and money into improvements and put it back on the market for $499,000. The final purchase price was $490,000 in August of 2012. The new assessed value is $679,500. That's over $180,000 over the last asking price. I represented another buyer who purchased a lot in December of 2012. It was on the market for 653 days with an asking price of $89,900. The final purchase price was $60,000. The new assessed value is $164,400. That's almost double the last asking price. I have found assessments that were both incredibly higher and incredibly lower than what a willing seller and a real estate professional have agreed to in marketing a home. And while the assessor's office cannot chase a sales price, I do believe that those numbers in the Juneau Empire, are a more accurate snapshot of what's happening in our market. I thought it'd be under 3 minutes, and I'm sorry. The assessor says people can appeal. There's a house that I have listed, and I had the assessor come look at it because I thought the assessment was too high. Ironically, even after a site visit, the new assessment was still more than $30,000 over the last asking price. I strongly encourage property owners to dispute assessments. I don't want to see anybody lose their job, but I don't want to see you base your budget on flawed data. Our friends and neighbors rely on the services and the jobs that are at stake.
Thank you, Ms. White. And you heard what I said about tomorrow's meeting?
I was on the board for 4 years. I know how it works.
I know you do. But they've changed the model, so if you wanted to see a different one.
The model makes no sense.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, thank you very much. All right, we'll move on to Mr. Charles Robacher and then Trevor Richards.
I'm Charles Robacher, and I live at 314 B Street in Douglas, and I'm just speaking for myself and my wife. I'm just here because I'm a citizen and I'm a taxpayer. I support raising the mill rate so that we can have the essential services that we need in our community, fire department, youth services, and libraries. And so I'm in our community and in Douglas. The library is used by people of all ages, but by lots of youth. It's a real anchor of our community. There does come a point when you cut hours at a library where it decreases the use of the facility, and then becomes an argument for either closing it or reducing the hours even more. It can become kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think maybe happy is too strong a word, but I'm certainly willing to pay more in our property taxes. We own a home in Douglas to support the things that make a community worth living in and that serve the common good. And that's how I see it. That's how we see it. And we urge you to be thinking about that common good as you ponder the budget and all the things that the budget are both needed for and useful for again, supporting the needs of all of our people. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robacher. Are there any questions for Mr. Robacher? Thank you very much. Trevor Richards.
My name is Trevor Richards. I live at 3930 North Douglas Highway. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Assembly members. I'm a Juneau resident. I'm a taxpayer. I have lived here for over 10 years. I'm a businessman in this town, a landlord. I'm a husband, a father, a son, a brother, an uncle to residents of this community since I've moved here and started my family here with my wife. My sister has moved here and started her family, met her husband here, who's a teacher at the high school. My mother has moved here. Her mother is a resident of Wildflower Court, and both of my wife's parents now reside here as well. I have an expectation and a desire that should any of them need the services of Capital City Fire Rescue, that those services are available for them. Some of them are aging people, you know. I want to make sure that the public safety is there and supported. I know in the last few years, our fire department has done a lot more with less, but the public is not getting the service that they used to. We have second, third, fourth, fifth out calls in which there's no ambulance coming for a while. It's a delayed response for ambulances. A couple of years ago, my sister gave birth to her child at the birth center, and she needed the services of Capital City Fire Rescue. And what she needed was an ambulance. She needed to get to the hospital. She was bleeding, and if it had taken any longer, she might not have made it. She ended up having to get 7 units of packed red blood cells, and it was actually, it was pretty touch and go. The ER doctors were, you could see the sweat on their foreheads. You know, this was not a good situation. Had she been one of the citizens that had to wait for an ambulance, she might not be here right now. And so I ask that you guys don't cut any of the funding to the fire department. We've had cuts. We've stayed status quo. We're a growing community. We need to add jobs. We need to be looking at budget increases. It's going to be, you know, one of the families, one of the friends, the people I care about and love in this community that are going to suffer when they don't have an ambulance when they need one. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Is there anybody else in the public who wishes to comment on this? Come on up. How many more do we have? Raise your hands way up so I can see them. 1, 2, 3. Okay, 4 total. And then we're going to stop. Thank you, sir. State your name.
Mr. Mayor, Madam Manager, and members of the Assembly, my name is Robert Sewell. I live at 903 Fifth Street in Douglas, Alaska. Proud resident. I've been there since 1996, and I'm a property owner and therefore taxpayer. It seems to me that the amount of money that is being considered in the mill rate change is very modest, even at the joke level. It appears to be at the level of, for your typical owner, somewhere around 1 month's worth of a GCI internet charge. So I really don't know where all the heat is coming from. I suppose most of it's ideological. I do want to say, however, that were cuts to be entertained, ones I would like you to stay away from have to do with the libraries and, importantly, the previously discussed youth activity grants, which have been used, I think, marvelously well in my own particular view as an example with the hockey community. JDIA has done a spectacular job. I'm not a member, but I have watched with awe and delight as many volunteers have applied their efforts to leverage remarkably the value that has been provided through that opportunity. I would like to urge you to support the library staffing pattern as it exists, if not enhance it. That can become ever more an important key part of our community. I agree with the prior remarks regarding safety and rescue. Unfortunately, it's for you folks, not your average citizen, to decide how those key community values are supported. I think you've done an admirable job. I'm delighted with the quality of life here, and some of that has had to do with the significant public spending, which I do not find onerous. I do agree with the comment as to the meteoric rise in some of the assessed property values, but that said, I think you're doing a great job. And I would urge you to maintain, if not actually enhance somewhat, the mill rate. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sewell. Any questions? Seeing none, next out there. Come on up. Good evening.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, Honorable Assembly members, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Darrell Zale. I live in 913 First Street in Douglas, Alaska. And I wanted to just let you know that as a resident of 28 years in Juneau, I am more than happy to pay my share of our services and would promote a modest increase to the mill rate. As a volunteer coach as well as a board member for the Juneau Douglas Ice Association, I also have, of course, some fondness for the Youth Activity Grant as well. So we just wanted to just give you that. And being that I also want to thank you for your difficult decisions coming up ahead in the next year's budget. And I appreciate all that you do And thank you for this opportunity. And any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Next. Good evening.
Good evening, Assembly. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Madam Manager. My name is Thea Howard. I'm a resident of downtown Juneau. I haven't been before this body in some time. Back when there was a street dispute was the last time I was here. And I'm here to encourage you to dispel with some strange characterization of a hypothetical. I don't think Madam Manager thought that when she was asked to come up with a very difficult decision of items to cut, that she was thinking at all that these would be hypothetical. And I would like to point out that there are several youth. Some of them had to leave. They were tired, have school in the morning, couldn't hang in here. But they don't think it's hypothetical, or they wouldn't be here. And none of us think it's hypothetical, or we wouldn't be here, and you wouldn't be here. Because when we check the box at the voting stand and the polling places, it's not hypothetical. So I just want to point that out, that we're talking about real numbers and we're talking about real people who are impacted, and I want to underscore what I want to say with that. you've heard a lot from the Juneau-Douglas Ice Association, and they're not the only youth activity that is affected by some of these cuts. But also, I'd like to say that my 12-year-old over there has probably received some of the services that are mentioned. She's used the Douglas Library, even though I don't live in Douglas. She's, you know, swam at the pool, even though I live downtown. She swims at the Valley Pool 3-4 days a week. She's a swimmer, and I'll say that we just spent 4-hour stint asking for the public, members in the community, to help support her ability to travel, to rent pool time, to do things that she needs to do as a competitive swimmer. And if you do decide, as Mr. Dibdahl aptly put it, to entertain this hypothetical and you reduce some of these activities, I encourage you to open your wallet, because that's what's going to happen. We're all going to be coming to you to say, hey, please help support us even more with your own pocketbook. And when it comes $50 out of your tax assessment, come on, man, you don't even notice it. That's like, what, 10 trips to Heritage for coffee? I think we can all absorb some of this stuff so that we tell our kids that they're important. And by the way, those guys over there and the woman, the only woman there, is a firefighter. I sure hope none of you need them later tonight, because that's not hypothetical either. And these young kids who are involved in these activities at the pool, they're going to become some of these firefighters. Some of those guys I went to high school with, and they still live here, and they're still giving back to their communities just like they did when they were kids. And we're all doing that. And many of you have lived here a really long time, raised your kids here. And I'd ask you to think about that when you make your vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Howard. Any questions for Ms. Howard? One last one out there. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you. My name is Steve Brockman. I live at 13960 Glacier Highway. I am the president of the Board of Trustees of the Glacier Swim Club. Thank you, Thea, for your comments. Most of us choose to live in Juneau, and it's not because of the weather. It's because of the lifestyle here. Part of that, one of the most important things about the lifestyle here is that the range of activities available for our kids. That's certainly the case in my household. The Glacier Swim Club is one of the, like the hockey team that teaches, in addition to the skills, the important life skill of swimming, we teach sportsmanship, teamwork, other important things. We teach kids how to travel around the state, or we've got kids traveling to high division, upper level competitions up down the West Coast on occasion. Then some of our star swimmers. These potential cuts that would come with rescinding the mill rate would hit the Glacier Swim Club in at least 4 places. The coaching grant would be a direct blow. That stems from that coaching grant is a contractual thing that goes back to when Augustus Brown was open, and we wanted to share coaching expenses with the city, and it's been a good partnership. That would be a direct hit. The Youth Activity Board funding is huge for us, and has been a big part of our operational funds. It's expensive for the families that are involved as well, but this helps make it affordable for lower-income families. The team itself gives out scholarships to low-income families, and if we lose this kind of money, we're going to be having to take a really hard look at that, because we're not going to have the money for the rentals and things that we need to support the team. There's over 200 kids on the team now. It's a significant program. There are also individual Youth Activity Board grants, contingency grants for individual swimmers traveling to some of these competitions. Those have been very helpful to families. Hours of operation at Diamond Park, cutting Monday practices out at Diamond Park, that'll hurt us directly. So the Juneau voters have already approved this mill rate. I guess I wouldn't like to see the 0.23 rescinded. There are a lot of important things in there that would be lost. That's all I wanted to tell you.
Thank you, Mr. Brockman. And just to make sure we clarify, the voters didn't vote this mill rate increase. The assembly that sat here either last year or the year before voted that increase.
Okay. I appreciate that clarification.
Yes. Okay. Are there any questions for Mr. Brockman? Mr. Nan Curtis?
Thank you, Mr. Brockman. Mr. Brockman, you commented that the Glacier Swim Club coach is funded through the CBJ. Are you aware of any other coaches in town that are funded by this assembly?
I'm told that there aren't any.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Brockman. All right. One more. This is the last one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. My name is Chris Myrtle. I live at 4615 Thane Road. I support additional rates for the community and for the people. I can speak about this because I'm the one that had the house fire in Thane 3 weeks ago. And Capital City Fire Rescue were phenomenal in saving my house. It wasn't a total loss, but it was a phenomenal operation by Capital City Fire Rescue. Because my situation, my family and I are just thrilled to the support that we've received from this community. People I don't know, organizations I don't know of, are coming out and supporting us. And I think that's what makes Juneau so special, is the fact that we are a community that cares. And in my mind, any time that we cut any services, any types of organizations that are community-oriented, I think it's a loss to the community as a whole. We live here not just because of the beauty, but because of the people that live here. And we need to support that lifestyle and provide those safety nets and the opportunities for not only us to live in Juneau, but also to support our community and our children and our education and everything else that's rolled into that. The other issue I want to bring up is I'm also serving on Parks and Rec Advisory Committee, and we hear time and time again, we need programs for the kids. So, just in summary, I believe that we need to maintain the higher level mill rate to support the services that make this great community, and I would be opposed to any cutting of any services as a result of the mill rate reduction. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Merkel. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
And thank you for the extra comment.
And I close public comment on 2013-12, and what is the assembly wishes? Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Ordinance 2013-12 to refer it back to the Finance Committee for review and recommendations to the full assembly and then return to the full assembly.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Is there any objections to that action? Seeing none, so ordered.
Thank you, everyone who came to testify.
If anybody has to go potty, we'll take a 5-minute break here while everybody clears out.
Hello, you are listening to the
CBJ Assembly meetings on KTOO Juneau. Just a short break, so we'll put a little music on. Thank you.
the manager? She'll be back. Okay. We can do the... Okay, under unfinished business, let's have a report from the committee on the city manager's evaluation process. So if I could have the two committee members just to give their thoughts and ideas on it, and then we will have a vote on the assembly of how you want to do this, and we'll get this started. So, Mr. Carlson, do you want to go first?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The initial discussion at the committee level was to review how it's been done in the past, and the mayor clarified that in the last meeting, and I would like for you, if you would, to share again for the full assembly how that was done in the past. And then we had a full discussion of a third-party evaluation done by a third party outside of the assembly to work with the assembly and to take their input as well in the process, because there are some best practices involved. And we did hear from a consultant who did offer a presentation to do a third-party assessment, and that was Almond & Associates out of Tacoma, Washington. The committee did hear that presentation.
Okay, thank you. Madam Crane, Chairman Crane of the Finance Department.
We did have a presentation on having someone else do the assessment. My concern remains the same. There is a cost associated with having an outside party do this, a cost that I don't think that we need to bear. This employee is an employee of the assembly, and I believe we should be able to do that evaluation ourselves.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. And I guess I'll just add to the talk, to the debate, that we have the ability to do a 360 evaluation scenario through our own HR department. So basically, we can do the same thing, except for we wouldn't have a third-party neutral position. That's good and bad that we have to weigh, but the problem with going outside, we're talking anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000 to do that, and at this time in our budget cycle, I don't necessarily think that we're there. What we would do is if we went and did it ourselves like we have in the past, in fact, the city manager has already written up some of a page or two of items that she's worked on in the past year and some of the positive things that have happened. And I didn't read it close enough to see if there was any negative things in there that you had to struggle with, Ms. Manager, but I'm sure there's a couple of those. And so we'll have that available to us. We'll have the last year's list of goals there, and of course when she was hired, there was a list of traits and characteristics that we wanted to see in a city manager that are general in nature, but we can use as our base part also if we did it locally here. What we would do then is sit down with the city manager with that information, sit down with the city manager in open session, talk back and forth with all of us, then we would go into closed session and have a closed session with her here and talk back and forth and go through the process all the way down the line so everybody could get their say and their thoughts and ideas out there. And then we would go into an executive session without the city manager and do our thing there, give our say back and forth. And then I and the committee can go back and write it up and produce an evaluation just as we have done over the years in the past. So there's two avenues that we can take here, and we didn't find anybody readily locally that does this. You know, so it was, I mean, we didn't put out an RFP and we didn't go out and see who was here, but we didn't necessarily find anybody locally that might be able to do it. So, Mr. Smith?
I wonder again if you could share with the full assembly what you told the committee as to how the evaluation process works in previous years, because I don't recall being involved in that process last year, as the mayor did prepare the evaluation. I think it would be good for the rest of the assembly to hear that.
So as I wasn't here last year, so I don't know what happened last year, but in the previous years, Mayor Botello has gone through the process of sitting down, and we get a one- or two-page report from the city manager of what she's done, good and bad, in the past from her. And then we also then sit down with her in open session to discuss in roundtable form pros and cons. And then we go into closed session and have a discussion with her, with the city manager, with her now, in closed session. And then we go into executive session, again, closed session, with just ourselves, and come up with our questions and answers and thoughts on her evaluation. And then either the committee, whichever way you want to do it, it's the nine of us. If the committee wants the three of us to write it up, or if you want me as the mayor to write it up, I can do that. I think in the past year or so, Mayor Bruce has probably taken more of that on himself for whatever reasons. I know that the year before and a couple of the last three or four years that we've done city manager's evaluation and attorney evaluations, there hasn't been as much of all of you giving your input as what I would like to see. That was the reason why I started this process out, to try to get that input from all of you in as simple a way as I could, so that we could finish up this evaluation. So that's why we're here in this open process of looking at process, because we all know, sitting on this assembly, that this is one of the most important things that we do. Any questions? Mr. Nankervis?
I have a few things. I sat in on the last committee, ad hoc committee, regarding the assessment, and then I actually like the thought of somebody outside doing it. As I've said before, I don't believe you should have a subordinate involved in, like the human resource director, involved in the evaluation of their boss. I don't agree with that. I like the third party outside. But I also know that the city currently does something similar to a 360, I'll call it. They do the cultural survey. I don't know how much money they spend on that, but I know they spend a lot of time on that. Personally think it's a waste. Mm-hmm. We could spend that energy having them do their work instead of filling out surveys and such. And I don't know how much that costs, but whatever it does cost, maybe we could not do that cultural survey. We've done it for a number of years. I don't know how many years we've done it in a row, but perhaps we don't do the cultural survey this year and we use that money towards contracting out an independent assisted evaluation of the manager.
Does the cultural survey get done every single year, Madam Manager?
It does get done every single year. It's done through SurveyMonkey. We don't contract anybody to do it. It's done through the HR staff. And we ask everybody to spend the 5 to 10 minutes on the survey, and we look at the trends year in and year out to look at how to do improvements within each department. Each department director looks at it and determines what areas and what they can do to try and make improvements in their areas.
And just to be clear, the 360 is a completely different mm-hmm. tool
than
but
that.
HR does do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just... Madam Manager.
And that also is a SurveyMonkey tool. You can determine who gets the password to get into it to do it. So you can have external people on there too, and you just tell them, here's where you need to go and here's what you need to put in to get that information and determine who all you want to have in there. When I went through it 2 years ago, it was the assembly reviewed it, evaluated me, all my direct reports, and then there were a number of community members as well that were evaluated me through that process.
Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Did the committee feel that the manager has been given a thorough enough job description and standard requirement and so forth that we could, we have something to base our evaluation on. Did you discuss that? Because I think that was a comment that was made a number of times that we weren't too sure how well we had done in that category.
And well, so, and I think that we're probably lacking in that category, Ms. Becker, but there was plenty of things with our goals and objectives that we could sit down and agree on with the manager and say, yes, these things were directly given to the city manager to get done and not, you know, because there are, and when you look at our goals, they're pretty loose at the end of who gets assigned to them. But there are certain things that were done, and in fact, they're probably on the two-page report that she did for us of her accomplishments and non-accomplishments. So, but anyway, I think there's plenty of enough things out, and just the basic traits and characters of being a good city manager are out there. And I think that any one of us, even us that have only been here for 6 months, can evaluate that part of it. And that's all you can do as individual assembly members. If you don't know some of the inner workings of what the city manager does, you shouldn't be evaluating that part of it, for sure. You know, I have no problem with that, but that's just the way it is.
I hope that, thank you, I hope that as a result of this, no matter which way we do it, we will come up with some very specific standards that we can actually use, that not only do we know what they are, but the manager knows what they are, and they're clear, so that the next year it will be a better evaluation. Because I'm not sure how good this one can be this year. But
no, I think it can be good.
Okay.
It doesn't matter whether we do it or outside firm does it. It can be good, and it can be fair and just. And I'm sure that we'll get to a better point at the end of whatever process we use to make sure that the city manager understands our wants and needs, and that she understands what we want her to work on. That's a good end result of all this evaluation cycle, I think. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate the discussion tonight. It's been very valuable. I think it's been useful. And tempted as I am by the notion of having a professional assist us in our evaluation, I think the cost is a significant factor that stands in the way of my supporting bringing in someone from the outside. But you know, the other thing is I actually look forward to the discussion with all of you. Of our city manager and of her performance in the past year. And I know that we'll use the results of our discussion, however we do it, to improve our own process for the next year. We've got a remarkable group with public sector managers and private sector managers and folks who from any number of backgrounds here. And I think that the discussions we have as a group not only will be adequate, I think they'll be good. The least desirable part of the manager's job probably is working with this many odd backgrounds and strange personalities with strong opinions.
Nine oddballs, you said, Mr. Keith?
Not exactly my words. I'll leave those words in your mouth. Thank you. But I do think that that you know that's the job the charter gives us, and I look forward to sitting down with all of you and the manager and hashing through it.
Thank you.
Just a comment to answer something that Mr. Smith said. We didn't do a city manager evaluation, I don't believe, last year because a city manager was required. And that's why I believe we did not go through the manager.
Is that what you think happened, Madam Manager? I mean, you wouldn't have been evaluated, but I would assume that.
I would assume that was the case as well.
Mr. Dibdo?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there was a big evaluation that went along with the hiring process, and I think that's where we were all engaged.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I support having the mayor, and it makes sense to me, the mayor interacts with the city manager on a daily basis, whereas
both of us do not, some more than others. But I would support that practice, and I don't support, at least at this particular juncture, going forward with any third party.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Mr. Wanamaker.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not experienced with different types of evaluations of CEOs, and that's what we're talking about here, evaluation of the CEO for government, private industry, and nonprofit organizations, where I sit as a member over the past 30 years. A lot of different tools out there and processes. And the most objective, most critical, most helpful to the body that has to make the decisions is the third-party evaluation process. Bar none, it is far superior to all of the others. We're able to find funds, $15,000 to $20,000, we're able to find funds all the time for things when we really want to do them. And I believe it's a good use of our resources. We're talking about evaluating the CEO of a $300+ million corporation. And we need to be able to do it right. It's a duty to the public. It's a duty to ourselves as the elected representatives of the public. And it's in keeping with upholding our fiduciary responsibility. So I favor the third-party evaluation method. And I believe that if we do a search, we can get a volunteer, if necessary, that may be willing to do it for the city as a community service. But the third-party process is superior to the process of doing it in-house with the nine of us sitting discussing. But it doesn't preclude the nine of us discussing. It includes that as well as individual interviews. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Mr. Smith?
I, too, agree that the process, I think the process that we adopt needs to be fair. And I would like it to be fair to the manager and fair to the city. I think it should be objective. It should be balanced. Most of all, it should be effective. It should bring us value as a municipality. It should bring the manager value, good reflection of their skill. It should bring us value in the way we interact with her. I think it should contain checks and balances. I may be in the minority, and I believe that perhaps our search should have been conducted by a third party. It was not. That was the will of this body. I really do believe that some sort of third-party review is in our future in this process. Most of all, as Mr. Wanamaker suggests, you know, we are fiduciaries, and this is part of our responsibility. It's not exactly the same thing, but we recently hired a third party to do a $200,000 rate study for the water rates. We can certainly afford to do this, but I favor it.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't support the third party. I've been through it with several other boards that I've been on in terms of third party. And perhaps it was my vision is sort of jaded by that, but I think that it allowed other members to sort of abdicate their own role. They allowed the third party to set the rules. They didn't question how the third party was doing things sufficiently. And I really think that we need to do this ourselves. It's a process that we can do. It's a process that we should be doing. I think a third party just wouldn't bring the value that I think Mr. Smith wants. So I would not support that.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Any other comments? I think everybody has said their piece. I need a motion to go one way or the other. Mr. Jones?
Mr. Mayor, I would move that the evaluation of the city manager be conducted in-house with our own resources.
And I would ask that the mayor and his committee set up that structure for us to do that within the next couple, 3 months.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Nankovich?
I have a question. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for Mr. Jones. Define what you mean by our own resources.
I think between the mayor and the ad hoc committee, they can look at all of the resources that are necessary, either the 360 or the job evaluation or the goals that the assembly set, and can establish some of the rules by which then we would have our various sessions that the mayor had described. That's what I mean by resources.
Thank you.
Any other comments on the motion? Any objections to the motion?
Objection.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Dibdahl?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
Motion carries 6A, 3A.
Thank you. Is next week an open Monday night?
COW
next week? Oh, I was going to take it away from the COW. Anyway, we'll set up a meeting here in the near future for the subcommittee, and we'll get moving forward on this and get it accomplished. And we'll be doing a 360. Is there any new business?
Manager?
Yes, Mr. Wanamaker.
I thought Mr. Jones' methodology that he proposed included having the committee make a recommendation as to the methodology and then being adopted by the body rather than your decision alone.
Okay, that's fine with me. I'm sorry.
I'm asking for clarification. Is that a correct
understanding? I don't know that it has to be brought back. I thought it would be up to the ad hoc committee to make that decision.
Yeah. Yes, so I will reserve that 360 comment until we get into committee and then recommend that that's part of this whole process. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Move on to new business. Is there any new business?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Staff reports? Madam Manager?
None, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Law Department?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Quick announcement. I'm going to retire effective June 30th. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hartle? Thank you. Mr. Nankervis?
What year?
This year. Thank you.
Object.
All in favor.
Mr. Hartle, all I can say is I just want to make sure that you know that I appreciate what you've done for our city and the accomplishments that you've done with us as our law and our law department. And I want to thank you very much for your service.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All right. So, in that light, we have a three-member subcommittee to do the city manager's evaluation. How would the assembly like to proceed on a rehiring thought or process? Would you like to do another three-member panel off of the assembly members to look at a process to do hiring of a new city attorney? Mr. Wanamaker.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. In fact, that's what we did when Mr. Hartle was hired and selected, and I would volunteer to be a member of that committee to recommend the process for the assembly's consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. There's one member, and I need three people. Mr. Keel? Mr. Jones? Thank you very much, and you gentlemen need to get started on it right away, just like we are with the evaluation, if you would. So whatever it takes to meet and whatever staff we need from staff to help the committee move forward, if that's, I think Mila will be back next week, the first. I'm sure that that's a resource that the committee will want to look at and listen to, along with Mr. Hartle as outgoing. some of his thoughts and ideas, I think would be a good thing to listen to also. So, Mr. Wanamaker, you had your hand up.
Yes, Diane, I just wanted to say that when we have the senior heads retire, transition for whatever reason, I really believe it's important for the body to conduct an exit interview or have an exit interview conducted. It helps us get a better picture, and I think it informs us and helps us with establishing policies and guidelines and procedures or recruiting that may benefit the community overall. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. I think that's a great idea and would suggest that you guys take it up in your committee to be able to do that. Ms. Green?
So I have a question for Mr. Wanamaker. The assembly only has two employees. Are you talking about those two employees, or are you talking about employees in general for which the charter specifically states we're not supposed to have any say in personnel beyond the two employees that we have?
I'm talking about our two employees that are direct hires and direct reports, but I do believe it would be good practice to do that so that we could learn also. For instance, if the Parks and Rec director were to retire, and so an exit interview and the information shared on whatever comes from that, we shared with the assembly to understand that perhaps something could be done that would make things even better from their viewpoint. It would be useful information for us. And again, as I said, in establishing policies and programs and goals that are our legitimate area.
Ms. Frank.
My concern would just be that we were stepping across the line that's drawn in the charter.
And I would suggest that we use the law department to set that line so that we don't. But we are the policy-making decision makers of this city and borough. And if I would think that if we wanted to set the policy of that there would be exit interviews out there, now who might be able to read them would be a good question for our law department to tell us, you know, what are the parameters of that for sure. But if we wanted to set that policy, I think that's very much within our boundaries of policy makers. So there may be parameters, but because it's, you know, has to do with people and their personnel stuff for sure. Any comments, questions over there about that?
I'd have to think about it a little bit.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Harvey.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else? We're not getting short on work. We're getting more on work, so. Okay, staff reports, mayor's report. I was able to welcome Clinkett and Haida Central Council's assembly to town last Wednesday. That was a really good turnout of people. The hall was full down there with people from all over the state of Alaska and some from up and down the West Coast. So good turnout and a good bunch of people doing business within our community. I also welcomed on Saturday morning the Alaska Federal Retirees employees, and that was a smaller group of 30 or 40, but they were meeting in Juneau for 2 or 3 days for their convention and their local and all of Alaska locals coming into Juneau to meet on their concerns about health issues and wage, holding the line on wages and everything that's happening from the federal government. The other big thing that we're working on, of course, all of you who are, you've got a piece of paper here about our trip up north to Skagway and to meet with both the Skagway and Haines borough assemblies. And we have how many coming down from Whitehorse now? Two or three? Three now? So we're up to three that are coming down from Whitehorse, our sister city, also to meet with us. So the four communities will be meeting in Skagway. We'll be leaving and going up on the 26th. Your paperwork is in front of you there. I think everybody, the five that are going, also have where they're staying and their travel papers. there. So there are five of us on the assembly going. Ms. Kiefer's going. Who from the clerk staff? Lori? All right, good deal. Lori's going. Do we have anybody else? Is that it? So seven of us and some spouses too. So anyway, I think that's a very opportune time to meet with our fellow assembly people up there in Haines and Skagway and get to know them a little bit better. Is there anything else? I know I'm forgetting a lot of different things that we've been doing. But I think those are the main key points. So, Ms. Becker, Committee of the Whole.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We met this last Thursday, the committee of the ad hoc committee, and I'm bringing that up because it's part of the committee of the whole. Is that okay? We discussed a matrix. We put together a matrix that took the comments that were made by each of the groups, the builders, the developers, the bank lender and mortgage companies and so forth, and the realtors, and organized them into what they said and then marked them with a little X each time one of them said it, so that we were looking to see what was mentioned the most times, so that we could get an idea of what the priorities were of those groups. And based on that, the priorities that we identified that we want to start working on are increasing the zoning density, reevaluating the major, what major and minor subdivisions are, and property tax incentives that we could offer. And there were many suggested, so looking at that. We also discussed another category that was mentioned by all groups, and that was the one that we're calling culture. And we did not put that down as something that we would necessarily make one of the top priorities to work on, but with the hope that, at this point, with the hope that as we work on the other things, maybe that will cause a cultural improvement, or what is viewed as a cultural improvement by our housing group.
But by the housing group or CDD?
By what we're hopeful that as we make some changes, as we do some things that work within these categories of zoning density and definitions of subdivisions and tax incentives, that those actions may cause the builders, the realtors, the developers to feel that there is a cultural change because there may be better working conditions developed from that. In other words, we just really don't actually know how to hit this particular project to talk about culture. I suppose we could demand that every single person in CBD is wonderful to everybody at all times, and engineering and every place else, as we hope everyone is. But the things that were said were pretty difficult to get a hold of and find a way to resolve them.
Madam Chairman, if yes. I could interrupt you, have we taken the time to find out from staff on those three or four topics? Who should work on them from staff level?
We're going to meet this Thursday again, and we've asked the manager to prepare that kind of information for us. We also asked the manager to give us a list of the open permits that are current right now with our goal of contacting people involved in those open permits to find out how things are going. And we were given the League of Women Voters survey from 2009 that has quite a number of comments from builders and developers. We did not talk about doing any kind of formal survey because we would like to contact these people personally and talk to them that way. Our next meeting is scheduled for this Thursday at 1:30, and then we hope to have enough information to give the Committee of the Whole in a more report format. But we may not be there because that's a lot of work.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering if this committee
It seems to me that it's been going on and on, and I realize it's been very complex, but it seems to me also that there are already some things that the committee could advance and we could take action on, and then they could continue their work. But there seem to be at least two or three items that the assembly could address now.
And Mr. Dibdall, I think that's what they're trying to do now with the top three or four or five thoughts. I think you're right.
I only have till October, so I'm hoping it'll come sooner.
Well, Mr. Dibdall, would you take... Yeah, that is our goal.
Thank you. That's why
we took those three. We want to work on them right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman. Mr. Wanamaker, Public Works.
Thank you. Public Works and Facilities has not had a meeting since our last meeting here, but we will meet on the 29th. And I don't have an agenda yet, and the staff is still putting it together for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Mr. Keel, HR.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll start with two informational items, and then our two recommendations will follow. Our May 13th meeting, we'll all get to enjoy an appeal hearing here in the chambers during our regularly scheduled time. And so for May the 13th, the Human Resources Committee has rescheduled its meeting earlier in the day to noon, and that will be included in the city's notices, but I wanted to let all of you know. We also need to schedule a meeting of the full assembly as HRC to address some appointments to our enterprise boards, airports, Eagle Crest, docks, and harbors this go-round. Tentatively scheduled for June the 6th, and our clerks will be sending an email around to poll all assembly members, see if that date works well for more than the four of us on HRC. At this evening's meeting, Mr. Mayor, the HRC recommended two appointments to the Fisheries Development Committee, reappointment of Thomas Fletcher and appointment of Abe Tana for terms expiring January 31st of 2016.
Is there any objections to those nominees? So ordered.
And finally, from the HRC, this evening we recommended three reappointments to the Sales Tax Board of Appeals. Tim Cottingen and John Gagin for terms expiring December 31st, 2015, and Gary Jenkins for a term expiring December 31st, 2014.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, are there any objections to those appointments? Hearing none, so ordered. Mr. Dibdall, you had a question from Mr. Gagin?
I just wanted to, I know it's difficult, you know, for human resources all the time. Did we not change the rule, though? I mean, as far as the attendance, I know there was a real problem. Everybody wanted to be there on life or death, but that's not so anymore. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Dibdall, that is correct. We're going to do our best to make the timing work for everybody, but yeah,
your meetings. I really do.
Mr. Dibdall, you asked for more before October, not less. Thank you. Do you have a question for Mr. King?
I just wanted to comment to the chair of the Human Resource that he neglected to mention that there was an excellent report from the Fisheries Development Committee.
Thank you.
A terrible oversight, Mr. Mayor. It was in fact riveting.
Ms. Crane, Finance.
Just to say that there is not a Finance Committee meeting this coming Wednesday.
Ms. Crane, a question, and I think we were discussing it earlier today in one of our meetings with the city manager and myself, and that's a question on assessments and how they are done. Is there any way to squeeze that into one of our finance committee meetings to get a baseline? Because I think all of us now are confused about how we're doing it compared to how we were doing, because it was kind of beat into us that it had to be done a certain way because of the state rules and everything. And now we seem to have changed that philosophy or that model quite a bit.
We will make time for it, Mr. Mayor. I have some serious concerns, and I know there are a couple of other assembly members that share those. So we will find time to schedule it.
Mr. Dan Curvis?
I just wanted to offer up, Mr. Mayor and Madam Chair, that this Wednesday's open.
It's getting late.
Mr. Dibdahl, do you have anything? No, you don't have a chair. I'm sorry.
Nope.
Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr.
Lance.
Mayor. The Lance Committee will pick up its schedule this coming Monday, and we are welcoming the new Lance Manager, Greg Cheney. Looking forward to his leadership and his role. We're working on that agenda, and that's my report.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Move to Mr. Jones and advisory liaisons.
Nothing tonight, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Senator Kervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Nothing for liaison report. Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Planning Commission is now ready to bring to the Assembly its final comments and suggested its changes in the comprehensive plan. It involves really four chapters, and they developed a matrix that will hopefully make it easier for us to identify where those changes have actually taken place over the previous draft. And I'm encouraged that they're also discussing some potential methodology for looking at an entire rewrite this next time, which we hope will be abbreviated and a little bit more focused.
Thank you. Mr. Jones, go ahead.
I'm just wondering if I could ask liaison a question. We had a couple of ordinances on zoning issues tonight and land maps, and I went out and tried to look at the Planning Commission minutes, and the last published minutes were the 14th of March. There has not been any published minutes from the Planning Commission since then, and while I appreciate his report of how they're ready, I've tried to sort of follow their discussion by coming to some of their meetings, but also to look at their minutes, and I haven't seen any. Do you know why the Planning Commission is a month and a half behind on their minutes?
Mr. Let's ask staff and let them respond. They're the ones. Mr. Smith does not do the minutes, I guarantee.
Well, I would gather not.
Ladies and gentlemen?
Yes, this has come to our attention before. That service is contracted out, and the contractor is living within the parameters of the contract, but it's not as fast as we would like to see it. And Mr. Hart has been leaning on them a bit to see if he can accelerate it.
Without making an official statement, but I would think that the concern there is to try to get those out a little bit faster. Our city clerk does a wonderful job for us. It gets our minutes out really fast. So she's smiling anyway. But I think it's someplace where we need to improve on, because I've bumped into this over the years more than once. So, Mr. Dibdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The airport board has been doing very well without my presence. I did make the very first meeting, but since then we've been into finance committee meetings, and they meet at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll make the July meeting with the airport board.
Thank you, Mr. Dibdahl. Ms. Spring?
Nothing this evening, thank you.
Mr. Keel?
Nothing, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Nothing tonight, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The University of Alaska Campus Council Board announced that commencement will be May 5th at 2 o'clock at the Student Rec Center. There are 348 endorsements, certificates, and degrees that have already been awarded this school year, and 374 more applications for the spring of this year have been received. Not all of them will be completed by May, but they will be completed within this year. We heard a report about creating conditions for student success, and if the newspapers report on dropping the colors all over the kids with anything, I think they're at least happy. I hope they're successful too. And the next meeting of the campus council will be May 15th. The Alaska committee, we're planning to meet in a retreat to discuss our goals. And we've continued to discuss the state fairs. We want to have consistency at both locations and update the handouts and update the banner. And the next meeting is May 8th. The chamber board location for the luncheons have returned to the Moose. And the next meeting is on May 1st. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Becker? Liaison reports, Ms. Green? Thank you. All right. We are ready to continuation of public comment. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on non-agenda item?
Are we going to do assembly comments and questions?
Oh, we can do that if you wish to.
I do have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm wondering when we will be taking up the recommendations for Off Lake. I don't want that season to start without assembly having dealt with the issue. And so I'm wondering if you have a schedule of when that will come before us.
I will be coordinating with Ms. Becker to figure out when it comes forward to the Committee of the Whole.
Well, I would just urge that it be fairly soon because the season is going to start.
So. The ice is basically all off now, so it probably needs to be a priority for sure. Okay, any other assembly comments or questions? Mr. Nan Curtis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have one for Human Resources Chair Keel. And also for staff, I believe. We made one appointment tonight to a seat on the Sales Tax Appeal Board. And I'll paraphrase their caveat, until you can fill it with somebody else. And I was wondering if it would be possible through the chair that we continue to advertise that and hopefully get something instead of letting it fall off the side of the table in a year or two before we do it. I think we could possibly keep it open. Open enrollment, or whatever you call that, open application period for that, and hopefully we'll get somebody to throw their name in the hat.
Mr. Gale, anything?
I'm racking my brain to recall whether, in fact, we still have an additional seat, and thus we'll have the advertisements ongoing at any rate. So I can say with some confidence we'll keep advertising it.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the practice that we've had in the past. If there's somebody that's willing to fill the seat until we get somebody else, is to continue to advertise until we actually get somebody. So, and I leave it up to you as assembly members to get out there and hustle some more bodies for these different seats that aren't filled. Because some of those people, like on sales tax, have been on it for 10 to 15 years, some of them. So they've really done a long, long time for sure. Okay, any other assembly questions or comments? Mr. Jones? Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm really looking forward to this weekend at Northern Lynn Canal meeting. It's what we've been talking about for over a year, and reaching out to our neighbors really is an important thing. Think regionally, and I think we should consider this to be an ongoing activity.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. And I can assure you that I mentioned it to Lori here two or three months ago, and she really grabbed the bull by the horns and started communicating with her fellow clerks up north. And it's the clerks who have really set this up for us and moved us forward to a spot where it's going to happen. And hopefully it is the first of many of us having sit-downs together. I think it's important that we do. And I would like to broaden it to other communities within Southeast. It would be great to go to Hoonah or Angoon and do something like this also. It's a good step in the right direction, for sure. All right, continuation of public, Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Question for the staff. A number of years ago, we adopted an ordinance that when a property suffers a disaster, such as a fire, that it the assessment on it immediately drops until the property is repaired, in order to give the property owners an economic to treat them equitably. Does that apply to a private residence such as what Mr. Murphy has experienced? I know it applied to the church fire. And do we have a process for letting them know about it?
I believe it would apply to him, and I will find out and follow back up with him if it does.
Okay, and if there are other property owners that may also benefit from the same thing, those people also?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. I think I remember us doing that. Mr. King?
My only comment, Mr. Mayor, is I had the opportunity this weekend to tour the hangar for Airlift Northwest, the nonprofit medevac service, which has done a great thing for our region, and they've added a turboprop aircraft that is capable of landing on some of the shorter runways here in southeast Alaska that they could not serve previously with their jet. And so they will be able to transport faster and more effectively folks from some of the smaller communities in our region here to Bartlett Regional Hospital or potentially, if necessary, here to Juneau to their faster jets to move them to the trauma centers and the burn centers outside. So that's a great improvement for our region. I wanted to mark that for the members and the public.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if there's anybody on the assembly who wishes to go out and tour that they would be welcome. They would welcome you to go out to the hangar and look at their equipment that they use. They've always been really good about that. So. Okay, any other comments or questions from the assembly? We'll move on to our last thing, which is executive session. Ms. Becker, were you? No, we didn't. Then we'll go back to continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Does anybody wish to address the assembly on non-agenda items? Mr. Halstead, go ahead, come on. Is it? And is this a different subject, Mr. Hall?
Sure is.
Okay. Thank you.
First of all, to answer Mr. Wanamaker's question, there is, in fact, disaster relief through the property tax folks at finance. They have a form for it, and it covers more than just fires. So, but in any case,
yep.
In late summer of last year, the City and Borough Engineering Department undertook a project to resurface the Savico Park ball fields. They did this mixing a product into it that contains bentonite clay and silica sand. My concerns here are that silica sand is a known human carcinogen, and I had a conversation with Mr. Bohan last fall about this, and, you know, he made comments to me like, don't read too much into the MSD sheet, you know, even drinking water has material safety data sheets, don't let it concern yourself. Well, given the fact that my relationship with the city manager and my thought process about Mr. Bohan, given the nature of the report he did on the hillside in front of my house, I really brings into question as to how thoroughly researched was it to put this product down on the ball fields. There is still a tremendous amount of dust during the windstorms. I also have some concerns over the weekend watching the Parks and Recreation employees down there dragging the fields and the dust that is created from that, and the possibility of airborne silica sand. I was told by Mr. Bohan that the City and Borough of Juneau had absolutely no intention of monitoring the situation to see whether or not any of this carcinogen was actually going to be released into the atmosphere during the windstorms. My research into the product indicates that the companies that manufactures this product leaves the actual suitability of this product for a particular purpose up to the end user, being the City and Borough of Juneau. They accept no responsibility or liability as to whether or not this is the right stuff to use or not. And silica sand, like I said, is a known human carcinogen. The material safety data sheet specifies the fact that this is a known human carcinogen. And I have some real concerns. Living above the Sandy Beach Recreation Area, we're subjected to enormous clouds of dust at certain times of the year. And my whole attitude about the engineering department and whatnot has deteriorated substantially. And I have some real grave concerns as to whether or not how thoroughly researched it was that this is a product that's really suitable for this purpose in this area that's subject to such high winds. And I also, like I said, the Parks and Rec employees should certainly be aware of the fact that they're down there dragging fields, creating dust clouds that might possibly contain a material that creates long, and these are long-term respiratory problems. This is not an instantaneous fall dead thing. This is something similar to well, I'm not going to bring anything up in particular, but it is a long-term accumulative type problem that this silica sand can create. And I really think that it should be looked in a little bit more thoroughly, given the nature of my other experiences with the engineering department.
Thank you, Mr. Halstead. Any questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Anybody else out there in the public who wishes to comment to us? All right, let's move forward to executive session. And Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we adjourn to executive session to discuss matters the immediate knowledge would have an adverse effect on finances of our city, and that's contract negotiations, a subject that would tend to prejudice the reputation and character of a person, and that is personnel issue, and a matter that by law does not have to be disclosed in public session, and that is the continuation of deliberation of Veterans for Peace Appeal.
A recess? All right, we're recessed for 5 minutes.
You've been listening to the Juneau CBJ meeting. This ends the public period for the CBJ meeting. We'll be returning to normal programming. So we're just going to hear just the last part of Democracy Now, and then followed by, as it happens at 10.